Psalm chapter 51, this is a familiar psalm to most all of us. In pastoring, I enjoyed preaching, as the preacher did this morning, through passages of Scripture and spending time just explaining the Gospels and the Scripture that God has for us. As an evangelist or a missionary evangelist, oftentimes my wife and I are in missions conferences, and quite often we have the opportunity to be in revivals and preach revivals around the country. And I have found that the mixture of those two is something that is needed and necessary for all churches to hear about and to spend some time in thought of what God wants us to do in the need of revival and what God wants us to do in the need of getting the gospel around the world. And I think this passage here in Psalm 51 lays out some scripture that alludes to both of those. And I want to take just a moment and read several verses out of this passage and ask the Lord to help us this evening. The Bible says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That word right spirit means a fixed spirit. Well, we're living in an unstable world today. But I'm thankful that a child of God whose mind is stayed on the Lord can be fixed. We don't have to be up and down with what's going on in our world today. And in verse 12, the scripture says, "Restore unto me the joy, not of my salvation, of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Let's ask the Lord to help us. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to be here in this service tonight. Thank you for the privilege that Julie and I have had to be here throughout the day, to hear Brother Carpenter preach. Thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Thank you for the work that you continue to do here at Heritage. I pray that you'd bless and meet their needs during this time of transition. Give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Give them direction. Dear Lord, you have promised that you will enlighten our way. You will show us your will, and I pray that you'll do so. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd bless the ministry of Preach Evangelistic Ministries. I pray, dear Lord, through the testings and trials that you have put the ministry through, that you will bless in an unusual way. Dear God, you've been so good. And I pray, as the word of God is preached tonight, that you will put us aside, and I pray that you'll use your word to encourage us and strengthen us and convict us, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. My father, who has preached here on several occasions, was preaching at one of our larger independent Baptist churches here in the States several years ago. On a Sunday night, we went and met him there and was there for the services. And Dad preached out of the passage of Scripture that says, "Wilt thou revive us in the midst of the years?" And Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. And preached from that passage of Scripture on that Sunday night. And I remember as the invitation was given at the altar time, that in that large auditorium, I think they have about eight different sections or eight different aisles in that auditorium. But as the invitation was given, people were from the front to the back were filling the aisles and on their face before the Lord and just praying for God to bring revival. And I was thinking about as the service was ending, this is one of the premier churches in the country. This is a church that has a large Bible college. It's a church that has a ministry that literally scatters around the world. And there in that ministry, people were from every corner of the room were on their face asking God to bring revival. And we went out to eat with the pastor after the services that evening or that morning, and he was talking to my dad and I, and he said, "Tom," he said, "the Lord showed me something this morning again, that no matter how busy that we are in the ministry and individually or ministry-wise, how busy we are in serving God, that there are times in our life and in our ministry that we all need a fresh touch from God. We need encouraging. We need uplifting. We need a fresh breath from heaven. We need revival." C.H. Spurgeon said revival is just the church, or I don't know if he'll Spurgeon or not, but one of the great preachers of years gone by said that revival is the church falling in love with the Lord all over again. Just learning to know the God who created us and made us and has saved us and redeemed us, just to learn to know Him again. I love the theme that you have, "Be still and know that I am God." Boy, there are some times in our lives and in times in our ministries that we need to step back and just say, "Lord, help me to know You once again." David was a man that sought to know God. You know, David said, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." It was not just a surface relationship with the Lord that he wanted people to see that he went to church, and he wanted to see people that they saw him going to the tabernacle or places like that. He literally wanted to know God more and more. That was the desire of his heart. But David was flesh just like we are, and we know the story of the deep sin that David fell into. I remember standing on the old city of David there in Jerusalem and looking out over the valley, the Kidron Valley there in the bottom, and where David's house was, there's a balcony area, and most of it's been torn down, but most likely was the place where David, as he was supposed to have been in battle, that he stayed home and looked out over that balcony and saw this beautiful woman, and we know what transpired from that point in time. He fell into sin. I don't believe that David wanted to do so. But David's heart had begun to get cold. His desire to know God was not what it had been. And if you go over to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and 13, I believe it is, and you see those things that were beginning to transpire, and even to the point that David was not willing to admit his sin until the prophet came to him and spelled it out to him, then David had to face the music. And sometimes God puts circumstances in our life to allow us to know that not that we've fallen into deep sin, but just the refreshment of the joy of the Lord is not there like it used to be. And here in Psalm chapter 51, David lays out some things, and I want to just give us two or three things to think about, and I want to end up in more of a missions theme as I close out. But there are several things that the Lord began to teach David. If you go back into Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I want to ask you to turn there, and maybe just a moment we'll take time to turn further back into the Old Testament. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 17, it says, "But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them," then the scripture talks about that God will turn his eyes away from us. Well, I tell you one thing, I have learned, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, that in every part of my life, I want the Lord to know what's best for me. There are times in our life that we see things that we choose for ourselves and we say, well, I feel like this is what I want, but I have found that there's some things in my life that I've desired that haven't been the desire of God. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Those things that are better for us, those things that are necessary for us to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life and for us to maintain that relationship with him that is needed. As we travel around the country, there are several things that we are seeing. And I thank the Lord for a strong church like this. I know this is a church that goes through its struggles just like any other church, but I'm thankful that this is a church with strength and balance, and God has blessed, and you see the necessity of the Lord working through this ministry. But you never need to forget that. You need to hold on to that and understand that the strength of this ministry is not in a pastor, it's not in a group of people, but it's in the God who knows who we really are. And David was of that thought. David knew where his help came from. My help cometh from the Lord. I'm thankful that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We don't like the trouble, but I sure like the present help. Amen? And David was having to consider some things in his life of what had gotten him to where he was and how to get it back into place so that God could bless him as he needed to. And so I want us to see just a couple of things, and we'll begin looking in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly. There came a time in David's life as he was struggling in this thought of revival and in this thought of having the right relationship with the Lord, and not only the right relationship with the Lord, but in being blessed and used of the Lord like he once used to be. I'm sure that was on the mind and the heart of David often. Someone that has had the joy of knowing the power and presence and the working of God in their life never wants to get back to the place where it seems that it's dry and dusty and the freedom of the Holy Spirit is not there to work anymore. We don't ever want to get back to that place. We want for God to be able to put us aside and put us apart from him being able to work and say, it's God that's done this. This, the only thing that we can say is God has done the work. And David had been there. But David had struggled with some sin. You know what, as I look around this crowd, we see, I would imagine, we see some of God's choicest people as a church. But you know what, all of us here in this room face battles in our life. Sometimes it's the battles of the flesh. I have a good friend of mine that was saved back when we were teenagers. He was saved out of a life of drugs. He, even as a 12-year-old boy, he and his brother both were involved in drugs, in pretty deep drugs. And he got saved. I remember we were having a revival meeting at our church. Our church was still meeting in a gymnasium at that point in time. And during that revival meeting, he came and trusted the Lord as his Savior. God did some wonderful things in his heart. The Lord spoke to him about being a preacher. He surrendered to be a preacher, went off to Bible college, but some things transpired in his life, and he fell back into sin. He's still a very dear friend of mine. I don't get to see him a lot, but we talk just about every day. And one of the saddest things for me is to see this friend that I love so much struggling every day of his life just to have victory over sin. And I tell him, you don't have to. As was mentioned today, God has not given us the spirit of fear. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be victorious. That's why he died and rose again, so that we could be victorious. But yet there are things in our life that if we're not careful, they can draw us away from the things of God. Little things in our life, as the scripture says in the Old Testament, the little foxes that spoil the vine. And sometimes it can become bitterness or unthankfulness or unforgiveness, and those things that creep into our heart and our mind that can affect our spirit and can affect our ability to serve God and can affect our ability to be a help to other people. And God came to David and began to work in his heart. And all of those things that had become complacent in his life, God began to speak to him, and he began to mull it over in his mind, and he said, you know what? I can't believe where I've gotten myself. Well, it's so easy for the devil to take us from victory to defeat very quickly. We have a missionary friends of ours that just had to come back to the States, and one of the best missionary couples that I've ever known in my life. And he had his 18-year-old son that came back and spent the last year of his high school at the school that he had gone to before they went to the field. So he had been in the States for the last year. And about 2.5 weeks ago, his family got a call from the pastor of the church there that their son had committed suicide. Oh, what a tragedy. I've thought so many times in the last 2.5 weeks, what in the world was going on in the mind of that young person? Brother Carpenter, I'm sure if that young man was here in front of us, we could spend some time talking to him and spending some conversation with him. And most likely, there would probably not be anything that you and I would detect in his life that would tell us, you know what, there's something going on in this boy's life. It's easy for us to put inside of our heart those things that the devil is pulling against the Lord in our hearts, and it causes us to be so twisted and turned inside of us that we want God's blessings, but the devil wants to pull us away. And that's where David was. But David had a renewed look at who he really was. There was a story told of, I think C.H. Spurgeon told the story of a man who was walking through the wilderness. And he had spent all day wandering through the wilderness, sun beating down on him, the dry conditions, and rarely being able to find any water. And he had been walking throughout the day, and the sun was about to set, and he was tired and weary. And so he wanted to find a cool cave that he could get into and rest his head for the night. So finally he found a place, and As he was going inside of that cave, he found a smooth stone outside, and he picked up that stone and took it in with him, and he laid that stone down on the stone floor and was going to use that smooth stone as a pillow. He put his little belongings there on the floor. Very quickly, he fell off fast asleep. As the rays of the morning sun began to illuminate that cavern, to his dismay, he began to look around that cavern. And boy, it just took his breath away, because he looked, and slithering along the floor of that cavern were snakes from just about every part of that cave. He looked along, and there were scorpions that were coming back and forth across, things slithering up the walls. And then he looked up into the top of that cave, and bats were just flying back and forth and back and forth. And this weary traveler had slept soundly in that condition all night long. Never affected him once. And he woke up to his dismay to see what he had been living in. And you know what? I have found this in my own life at times, and certainly as Christians, we can find ourselves that the devil can lull us to sleep with things going on in our life that we do not keep short accounts with God on. And we can finally come to the place that we've lost our joy, and we've lost our direction, and we've lost our peace. And we say, how in the world did this happen? How could I sleep soundly in Christ in this condition? And the devil has lulled us to sleep. But David finally began to take a renewed look at who he was, and he found out where things had taken him. But I want us to see something else, if you would. Look, if you would, beginning in verse 5. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts shalt thou make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Not only did he have a renewed look at who he had become, but he had a renewed look at who God was. Boy, I'm thankful for the times in my life that I have had somewhat of an alteration in my course, spiritually speaking. And I've walked away from walking in his paths and walking in the fullness and the joy of the Lord. And I've tried to do the work of God on my own and tried to mull on through and say, well, I can make it happen. Instead of knowing that God's direction and peace and joy and the power of God was there. And I've stood back and said, boy, I sure remember the days that God seemed to be so sweet. And my walk with the Lord seemed to be so special. My time with God was the most refreshing thing of every day. And I believe that David was thinking back on his times in the presence of God and there in the tabernacle. And he was thinking of times that he spent with the Lord. And he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know what? God will put us through times in our life that, literally speaking, not only spiritually speaking, but physically speaking, it seems like God's just breaking us apart, struggling with things. And aren't you thankful? I am grateful that God will not let us stay in a condition that we're out of fellowship and out of the joy, out of that atmosphere and spheric of the joy of the Lord. He wants us to live in that condition so much that he's willing to break our bones spiritually so that we'll desire his presence more than anything else. My wife and I have gone through some trials and battles in the last several years, and I won't go into all of it, but God will allow some things to come into your life that everything else is put on the back burner so that God can get our attention more than anything else. Has He put things in your life that you feel like, boy, why is all of this happening to me? It just seems like nothing's going right, and it just seems like there's just no joy in the things of God. And God may be putting us through things that He's turning us and twisting us and causing us to see. You know what? Things are not what they should be. Things are not like they used to be. The joy of the Lord is not our strength like it used to be. My wife and I, our ministry we've been married for 33 years now, but our ministry has always been our family. It's been the greatest ministry of our life. I've enjoyed pastoring. I've enjoyed preaching. My wife's enjoyed being a pastor's wife. We've enjoyed being on the road together, but we're not a perfect family, but we have enjoyed family. God gave us a beautiful daughter. The joy of our life has served the Lord with us over all of these years. And almost 6 years ago, she walked out of our life. She has never been back into our home. And I tell you what, I think for both of us, at times, we could have very easily said, Lord, this business of serving You it's not for us anymore. God, I don't think You could use me anymore. Man, our heart is broke. We've wept tears. But you know what, Brother Carpenter, I have found is that God has used that time just to break me, mold me, make me. The bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. You know what? David had to look at himself anew. And then as he saw who he had become and where he really was, then he had a renewed look at God and who God was. God wanted the best for David. You want to know one of the most beautiful things about David's relationship with God? David sinned deeply. If David's sin had come into this church, most likely most independent Baptist churches would have churched him. But you know what God did? God allowed David to write 42 Psalms after David's sin. What a gracious God. That God takes our brokenness, puts the pieces back together again, says, you know what? You may not be the same as you used to be, but I sure want to still use you. David had a renewed look at God. But I want us to close with this. I want you to go down in verse 20, if you would. I love these next few verses as David begins to form his conversion and his confession before God. He says to the Lord, create in me a clean heart. There's a necessary thing for every one of us as Christians to understand is that we cannot make our heart clean. You say, Brother Lancaster, that's a very simple thing, but you know what? Most of us don't understand that. We feel like that by going to church, maybe we've gotten out of fellowship with God, and by going to church, we can make our heart clean. Or by deciding, well, I'm going to start going on visitation again, and I can make my heart clean. No, the relationship with God has got to be restored first until all of that falls into place. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Uphold me with thy free spirit. He said, God says, I'll give you the freedom to be able to do those things that you need to do in the work of God again. I can get you going serving God again. Just have the heart of needing me again. But he says, look in verse 12. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. I love to see how the Lord works in this, and I believe he does this in all of our hearts. David had fallen in his relationship with God. The joy was not there. The peace. The workings of the fruit of the Spirit were not there like they used to be. And David began to have that renewed look at where he was and speaking to God and saying, God, would you create in me a clean heart? And then it culminates by David saying this, Lord, if you'll uphold me with thy free spirit and if you will help my spirit to be what it should be, and if you'll create in me a clean heart and get my relationship back to where it needs to be, he said, Lord, then I will teach transgressors their ways. David recognized, as each of us here in this room need to recognize, that God will never be able to use us in expanding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ until our relationship with Christ is right and in the condition that it needs to be. And when we get that right and our spirit is right and our heart is clean, then David said, then I'll teach transgressors their ways. Sinners will be converted unto thee. And over again, we see this story played out in the Word of God, that God's greatest servants would go through a time of life that they fell short in their service of God, and their freedom to be able to do the work of God was not there. Their spirit was not right. The peace was not there. And they would look back at God and say, God, I know where I've gotten. Would you help me? And all of that was restored, and boy, their desire to see people saved began to flood their heart. I don't know about you, but I've never had a time in my life that I've waned in my fellowship with God that I've truly had a desire to see people saved. Boy, I remember as a teenager growing up, we had about 40 or 45 young people in our youth group, and at a certain point in our youth group growing up, we had some dedicated young people. We had about 20 young men that had surrendered to be preachers. And I remember every Saturday that we would gather at the church for a bus meeting on Saturday morning. We had about 11 bus routes at my dad's church, and we'd have the bus meeting, and Dad would spend some time with us. And then after the bus meeting, we would dismiss, and all of us guys would get out on that old rickety GMC bus. Man, I can still smell the seats of that bus. It had that old straw stuff inside of it, and half the seats were ripped, and you could just, once you got on that bus, you could smell all these seats in there. All 20 of us would gather on that old rickety bus Saturday morning after bus meeting. And I remember hearing 15 and 16 and 17-year-old guys. We played basketball during the week together. Some of them were from broken homes, and some of them were from preachers' homes. But I remember Saturday mornings that we'd gather and get between those bus seats. And I remember hearing my buddies on the back row that had grown up in a family that Dad had never been in the family. Mom was a smoking woman that had had problems just about all of her life. No stability in the home. And I remember hearing those boys on the back row cry out, God, would you help us today as we go out and spread your word? Dear Lord, fill this bus tomorrow. And I remember hearing those teenage boys over and over and over again cry out and say, Lord, we need the Holy Spirit of God today. That's some teenagers. And God had so worked in their heart that it was not just the things of this world that brought allurement to them. They had grown close enough to the Lord that all of that was put aside, and they wanted their relationship with God to be right, and they wanted God to use them. And boy, did God use them. Those two boys that I talked about, they'd stand on the street corners. People be walking by, and runners would be running by, and they'd stop them in the street. And I remember time after time watching those boys lead somebody to the Lord. You know what? I'm so thankful that God can use any of us. Somebody say amen right there. It doesn't matter what background we've come from, or what our desires and goals of our career are. God can use any of us. But if there's not something driving inside of our heart to be used of God where God has planted us, then it may be that we need to take a renewed look at who we have become, and then find a new renewed look at who God is and what He can do in our life, and say, God, I want to be used of you again. God, please make me into someone that's a mold, that's moldable and fashioned after your likeness so that you can use me. I'll close with this illustration. I remember pastoring years ago. There was a couple in our church. The names were Eddie and Cammy. They're good folks. And Eddie and Cammy had been in our church for years and years and years. His aunt was my secretary in the church. But Eddie and Cammy only came on Sunday morning. I never saw them come back on Sunday night, never saw them on Wednesday night. But on a time in our church's life that we were praying for revival, on a Sunday night, I saw them come in the door, and I was preaching that night out of a passage in Matthew chapter 18. And during the evening, that the Lord worked in an unusual way in our services that night, and our altar was filled, and God worked, and Eddie and Cammy came to the altar that night. I went and knelt down beside them, and I said, what's the Lord doing? And he said, boy, we need revival. And I saw two people get their heart right with God like I hadn't seen in a long time. Thursday night was our visitation night, and I had told my wife on the way out of the door to go to visitation, I said, I'm going to go by and see Eddie and Cammy tonight and just see what the Lord's doing in their heart. And we got to the church on Thursday night, and I walked through my office area, and usually the men would gather there during the time of visitation and just talk and drink some coffee. And I walked in, and boy, the men were scattered out through the office area. And there was an old truck in the parking lot that I had not seen and didn't know who it was. And so I got in there and came around the corner, and there was this man, Eddie, that was at visitation that night. Man, he got his heart right on Sunday night, and he's there at visitation. I told him, I said, Eddie, I was planning on coming by to see you tonight. He said, well, I'm here. And as we divided up and got ready for visitation, he asked me, he said, preacher, can I go with you tonight? And so we divided up, and I went out, and he was going to drive his truck, and I got into his truck. He closed his door, and I closed my door, and he just sat there a minute. And I said, well, are we going to leave? And he just, big old tears began to drip down his cheeks. And he was not a very emotional man. And I said, Eddie, what's the Lord doing in your heart? And boy, he began to cry out to me. He said, preacher, he said, I've lived my life away from the Lord for so long. He said, I haven't known the peace of God in a long time. He said, I haven't had a desire to serve the Lord in a long time. He said, I went home Sunday, and he asked his wife, Tammy, he said, what do you think has caused me not to want to be faithful to the things of God? And they were talking back and forth. He said, well, she said, well, this may be part of it. She said, you come home every Sunday afternoon and put your feet up in the recliner. And she said, you always put a six-pack of beer on the coffee table. And every Sunday afternoon, that was his habit. Drink a six-pack of beer, watch the races, fall asleep, and miss church every Sunday night. But he got his heart right with God. He called me up a few weeks later, and he said, preacher, he said, could I spend some time with you? And he asked me if I'd go fishing with him, and you don't have to ask me twice about that. So he took me out into the sand hills, and we finally found a little lake way out, about 8 miles down old dirt road. We got out and started fishing for just a few minutes, and it started raining. We got back in the truck and spent some time talking, and then a few minutes later it stopped and we got back out. And all of a sudden, as we were fishing up at the top of the hill in front of us, I heard what sounded like a military installation. I heard some guys in cadence. Up, two, three, four. And boy, you could hear it loud. I said, Eddie, do you hear that? And just like a little baby that's had its bottle taken away from him, as soon as I said that, the tears began to flow down his cheeks. He began weeping uncontrollably. And he said, Pastor, he said, that's the reason I brought you out here. I said, you're crazy. I said, you brought me out here to fish. He said, no. He said, up on the top of that hill, he said, there's a military style, a Marine style boys institution. And boys that are in trouble with the law, they would have the choice of, instead of going into the juvie system, that they could go into this system for a year and try to be reevaluated after a year. And he said, sir, he said, if you would let us, would you allow me to go and talk to them and see if we could start a ministry to that place? And preacher, he just kept weeping, just could not stop. I said, Eddie, I said, if you'll set it up, I'll go with you in a heartbeat. And the next Wednesday, we went and met with them. And to make a long story short, for the last 20-something years, that man has headed up a ministry to about 50 of these type installations, and has literally seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young men come to know Christ as their Savior. But there was a man that came to church every week of his life, and in the depths of his soul, there was no joy, no peace. But he got it all cleared up with the Lord, and then maybe if he could say, as David said, now, Lord, I'll teach transgressors your ways. I wonder if there's some good members of Heritage Baptist Church tonight that may just need to take an inward look at where we are. Lord, is my spirit right? Is my forgiveness right? Is my joy right? Lord, if it's not, would you create in me a clean heart? And then maybe there's a good group of us here tonight that would say, Lord, if you'll give me the joy and peace again tonight, I make this promise to you. I'll serve you. I'll teach transgressors their ways. Lord, I'll get back into the battle again. if you'll be my help. I want us to bow our heads this evening. Thank you for your attentive spirit and listening ears this evening. I wonder how many of us tonight would just analyze our hearts between us and the Lord. Say, Lord, search me and know my thoughts. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I wonder how many of us in this room would say, Brother Lancaster, if I were to be honest with the Lord tonight, I just need a fresh touch from heaven. I need revival in my spirit. And God's spoken to my heart tonight. How many Christians would say that? Would you just slip your hand up around this room? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And you. God bless you. Now, I wonder how many of us would be honest enough with the Lord about this. That it's been a long time since we've wept over lost people. Maybe it's loved ones that are unsaved, or maybe it's the work of God here at this church, but it's been a long time since we've had the burden for lost people that we need. And maybe God has spoken to you about it. How many Christians would say, Lord, I need a greater burden for the lost? Would you slip up your hand around this room? God bless you. A number of hands. Now, Father, help us during this time of invitation. We ask that you do for us what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Preachers asked me if I'd start the invitation and then we'll turn it over to him. I would encourage some people to step out and to come to this altar this evening and say, Lord, would you give me revival tonight? And there may be some that the Lord has laid specific individuals on your life. It's been a long time since you've prayed for them. It's been a long time since you've reached out and said, do you know that you're on your way to heaven? I guess there were probably 25 or 30 hands that were raised. If the Lord spoke to you, if you'd like to use this altar, as they begin to sing and play, would you come right now and do business with the Lord?